This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. Heavy winter storms have swept over the Northeast and blanketed the streets from West Virginia all the way to Massachusetts. Our nation's capital has been shut down all week with what has been the snowiest winter in D.C.'s recorded history. Snowstorms make a lot of us think about shoveling or school cancellations, maybe treacherous driving. But according to our next guest, snow has actually been a big part of our culture in this country, and it's played a big part in our history as well. Bernard Mergen is a professor emeritus of American Studies at George Washington University, author of Snow in America and Weather Matters, an American Cultural History Since 1900. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
So this goes way beyond somebody telling you to restrict your conversation to your health and the weather, right? You're saying that weather has actually mattered in terms of shaping our American personality.
I believe so. I mean, I wouldn't ever claim that Americans are unique in their perceptions of weather, but every part of the country really has different perceptions based on their expectations, and that's probably the number one way in which weather affects history, is that it creates expectations about the normal, and then it challenges those expectations every once in a while.
Because it's always abnormal. Give me an example of what you're talking about.
Well, I guess... there are any number of, most recently, of course, is Katrina because of the expectations of hurricanes along the coast. But when they exceed the expectations, the result is catastrophe and the soul searching that comes afterward. And so we seem to go through cycles of these. I'm interested in my books in the way, maybe not the big sort of way in which the wind sank the Armada or the iceberg sank the Titanic or something, in the way that weather changes history, but in the way that weather constantly nudges us in certain directions. That is, I'm thinking there was a long time in which the Weather Bureau refused to acknowledge the term tornado. The weather forecasters from 1880s through the 1930s were not supposed to mention tornadoes in their forecasts because there was a fear that they would panic people and the predictions weren't very good. But the great tornadoes in 1925, the so-called tri-state tornado in Missouri, Indiana, and Illinois, which killed between 600 and 900 people, really forced the Weather Bureau to rethink its approach. And again, in 1933, the Navy dirigible, the Akron, crashed in a storm off Atlantic City. And a lot of people blamed the Weather Bureau for being too slow to adopt new methods of forecasting. And so President Roosevelt appointed a very high-level commission, including the Nobel Prize-winning physicist Millikan, and they completely revamped the Weather Bureau in the 30s. So I'm looking at these things that maybe don't make the headlines but affect the way in which we are dealing with the weather today because the Weather Bureau has changed to keep up with the times.
And certainly in each region of the country, they have a different view of holidays, whether it be July 4th or Christmas or something else, depending on what the weather looks like out their window. That's Bernard Mergen, Professor Emeritus of American Studies at George Washington University.
He's kind of the Howard Zinn of snow, I think. Historian,
the
social
people's
historian.
History of snow? Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
Snow in America is his book. He also wrote Weather Matters, an American Cultural History Since 1900. Thanks so much, Professor Mergen.
And I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.